Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. Are you excited?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's all stand once more, please.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many in here right now are fighting any kind of a physical thing in your body? Just put your hand up. How many know somebody that is fighting a physical problem, friends, family, whatever? You can stand in the gap for them too, right? Yes. Yes. We're going to pray for that today because, see, at Crossfire Assembly, I know that God heals.
Yes.
I believe that God heals. Yes. Hallelujah. I want you to declare with me upon your own body this morning, if you're standing here with an illness or anything going on and you need a healing touch in your body, just repeat this after me, please. Heavenly Father,
I come to you in the name of
Jesus, and I declare over my body that I am healed, that I was healed because of Jesus. And right now, Lord, I receive that healing power into my body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. And Lord, those that are not been able to be here today because of illness, because of sickness going on in their lives, Lord, we hold them up also right now. And we declare over them, Lord, the healing power of Jesus. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you are moving amongst us and in us, Lord. You are so faithful, Lord. You're faithful from everlasting to everlasting, and your mercies are new every morning. And we praise you, Lord. We stand in the gap for those who need healing today in their bodies. We stand in the gap. We warfare in Jesus' name and the Spirit for those who need a touch in their bodies as well as in our own. We speak to our bodies to be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ruth wants to take over being the pastor here, I guess. Hallelujah. Could we have the children come up here? They're going to go to Sunday school. Don't you smile.
I'm smiling.
You're smiling. Look at these treasures here. We love our children at Crossfire Assembly. They're so important. I look the same on the back as I do the front. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we bring our children before you right now, Father. And we would ask that the anointing of your Holy Spirit will manifest in their lives this morning as Sandra gives them the Word of God and encourages them in the things of God, Lord, that it will set in their spirits. And they will be young people that will be on fire with a desire to live for Jesus. We speak the precious blood of Jesus Christ over our young people, Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit will always continue to speak into their hearts and convict their hearts that to live for you. And Lord, it doesn't make any difference how young they are. For Lord, you move through your people, Father. And Lord, we thank you for an opportunity at Crossfire Assembly to have these young people to minister the Word of God into them. And we pray that anointing upon them and upon Sandra, Lord, guide her and direct her by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak into these young hearts and minds. And we dedicate them to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be dismissed. And smile all the way out now. Are you smiling? Are you always smiling? Okay. Hallelujah. Jesus is here and anything can happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was listening to a little bit of Fox News this morning, and there were 6 million people that showed up to see the Popo in the Philippines. 6 million people. That was quite a crowd. A little bit bigger than what's in here when you overlook the crowd. But, you know, the newscaster said they came to bring, the Pope came to bring hope to them. And I listened to just a little tidbit that they played, and the hope he brought to them is that the world, that we need to get rid of poverty and destruction. That's supposed to give them hope. That's not going to happen. Not in this world we live right now. Because Jesus himself said, the poor we will always have with us. And in the last days there's going to be famines. There's going to be more starvation. There's going to be more destruction, that the world's going to get darker and darker. I don't know if he did, but I know he said some ridiculous things in the last several months, but I don't know if he's told the people about the hope that they can have for the future, but I would tell them that there is a hope, and it's Jesus Christ. The Bible says the hope of glory. Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Wow, what an audience to have to present the good news to them and give them true hope that this isn't where the world ends right here, where it's all about ending poverty and destruction in this world. That's going to go on to the very end till Jesus comes back. But that's the confession that they made, and the people showed up to see the Pope, and that's all they're going to see. Amen? We've got to pray for our world, because I believe the Lord is drawing the nations together. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. We need to prepare our hearts and keep our hearts prepared. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Confession is good for the soul. Open up with a little story here. Years ago, a young man had gotten out of Bible college where he had spent several years learning all the theological terminology that he thought would make him a successful preacher. He'd just been hired at a country church, and he was determined to begin bringing new people to Christ, set out to win his first soul for the Lord and the community. He came upon a farmer busily working in his field, not sure that the man was a Christian. He asked, "Are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, my good man?" The farmer didn't even look up. "Nah, these are soybeans, not grapes." Realizing he'd asked the question wrong, he said, "You don't understand what I'm saying. Are you a Christian?" With the same amount of disinterest in his previous answer, the farmer said, "Nope, my name is Jones. You must be looking for Jim Christian. He lives a mile south of here." Undaunted, the determined young preacher tried again, asking the farmer, "Are you lost?" "Nope, I lived here all my life," answering the farmer. "Are you prepared for the resurrection?" the frustrated preacher asked. This caught the farmer's attention, and he asked, "When's it going to be?" The young preacher smiled and replied, "It could be today, could be tomorrow, or the next day." Taking a handkerchief from his back pocket and wiping his brow, the farmer remarked in a monotone voice, "Well, I'm terribly busy with harvest right now, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't mention it to my wife. She don't get out much. If she hears about it, she'll want us to go all 3 days." What that preacher and the farmer were having was a failure to communicate, weren't they? They weren't talking the same kind of language. And they weren't referring to the same kind of things. They weren't saying the same things to each other. As a result, their conversation, it was going nowhere fast. Romans tells us that the same thing can happen to our salvation. If we're going to spend time with the Lord, we need to use the same kind of language. And today I listen to many times Christians, when you have conversations, how many times they speak different language than what God speaks. It says in John chapter 8, 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak the same things." Isn't that something? Jesus speaks what he hears the Father speak. Again, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That if thou, what? We confess the Lord Jesus. The word confess in this verse is the Greek word, which is homologeto, means to say the same thing. The same thing. I'm going to say it again in Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says I should, that I'm agreeing with God, that I'm agreeing with him. I'm echoing God's word. We need to echo God's word when we're speaking, even in our own personal lives. You know, just a small example, when somebody walks up to me and said, I'm broke, I'm dead broke, I have no money whatsoever. I don't speak those kinds of things. I'm blessed in Jesus' name. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches through Christ Jesus. Doesn't that have a lot nicer sound? I'm broke, I don't have a dime to my name. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Did you hear that? Salvation's not automatic. The world is being taught many times that it's just an automatic thing. We were at a funeral the other day at a church over in Richfield. And the pastor up there was talking about salvation as if it was an automatic thing for everybody in the world, that Jesus came and died on a cross and we have a total salvation for the whole world. Nothing. He didn't expound on it. He didn't go beyond it. And everybody sitting in that funeral was just believing that, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay. But it's not automatic. There's a confession. Jesus said it right here that we need to confess, didn't he? He said confess. And then in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the disciples who they thought he was in verses 16 and 17. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Whew. What he said was revealed by the Father in heaven. Thus to confess that Jesus is Lord is to echo back what God says is true. It's good to speak the Bible. It's good to speak the Word of God back. It says the same thing he says. It tells us that confessing Jesus as Lord is part of our response to God's gift of salvation. But church, we're saved by grace. Did you know that? We're saved by grace. By the grace of God is how we're saved. His grace and his grace alone is what really saves us. It says in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I feel sorry for the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on doors every Saturday because they're working. They feel they're working their way to whatever they're working to. I don't know what it is. See, but God calls upon us to respond to that grace. How does he do it? By faith. We respond to it by faith. We do it through repentance. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He told people to repent. Repentance is part of it. Confession of Jesus is Lord. We need to confess out of our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And then fourthly, being buried in the water of baptism and rising up to a new life. But I'm focused on confessing Jesus today. And this is a very important part of our response. And the reason it is so important is because if I'm unwilling to agree with God that Jesus will be my Lord, I'm not going to be saying the same thing God is. Right? Isn't that correct? I'll always be trying to make my relationship with him to be based on me or what I think is right and wrong. And I hear that all the time when you go out and witness. What you think is right or wrong. Not according to what God does, but what we think is right and wrong. And we try to build our salvation on those things. But if I confess that Jesus is Lord, I'm surrendering that right. I'm surrendering that right. When I confess Jesus is Lord, I'm surrendering control of my life. I'm putting Jesus in charge. He's in charge. Back in the days of Jesus, if you called someone your Lord, that meant that he owned you. They were the master and you were the slave. Did a slave own anything? Did a slave own anything? No. No, they didn't. They were slaves. They didn't own their homes, their families, their clothing, anything. Everything they possessed belonged to their Lord and Master. So when you and I declared Jesus was our Lord, we were saying we were giving him ownership of everything we possessed. Everything. Everything. When I gave Jesus my life and told him he's my Lord and my Savior, everything, all my money in my billfold, my dollar bill here, belongs to God. Everything. When I made Jesus the Lord of my life, all my money became his, all of it. And I've agreed to give him a portion of what I earn, a tithe, a tenth of my income, but in reality, all the money in the wallet, in the bank account, in the 401ks, everything you and I own belongs to Jesus Christ if he's Lord of your life. All of it. All of it. So if I go to see a movie, I'm using God's money. Oh, people don't want to have to admit that. I gave my 10%, the rest is all mine. No, it's not. It belongs to God. He's ownership if he's Lord of your life. When I buy a book or a magazine, I'm using God's money. And when I sign up for cable or internet, I'm using God's money. That's something to think about, isn't it? How we're spending our money. See, I realize that I'm using his money to purchase these items. I'm more likely to be more careful what kind of entertainment I let my home and life have. If we think about that. In my wallet, I also have pictures of my family. And guess what? They belong to Jesus. My wife, my daughter, they belong to Jesus. Everything I own belongs to them. So how we treat our family will be affected by the fact that they don't belong to me anymore. They're God's. Boy, when you think about it like that, it makes you start thinking a little bit differently, doesn't it? How we treat our family, our loved ones. How we treat them and how we raise our children up should reflect the fact that God will hold us accountable for what we do with them and for them. Now, it's not like God really wants to take those things away from me. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to take everything away from me. But when I make Jesus Lord, I'm giving him control of everything in my life. That's what I'm doing. We're giving him control. That's being Lord of our lives. And I give him authority over every aspect of my life. When I go to purchase a home, when I go to purchase a car, or I'm doing this, or I'm moving to this city, or moving to this state, everything I do, I go to the Lord. And I pray about it because he's Lord of everything in my life. Now, because confessing Jesus as Lord is so important to our salvation, we always ask people when they're being baptized to repeat the good confession. In fact, let's repeat this. I believe, you can say it with me, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of the living God. Then I'll say something like this: on the basis of your confession of faith, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at baptism, we echo back to God what he's said. Apparently, the church did the same thing back in Paul's time when he told Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Did you hear that? What's coming out of our mouths? Is Jesus Christ Lord of our lives? Is Jesus Christ of Lord over everything I speak out of my mouth? But I like that because it confessed before many witnesses in the following verse in 13, even Jesus before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good confession, the Bible says, before many. And so when you and I are speaking the things of God, when we speak it out, we're speaking it many times before witnesses. Our confession of faith will impact not only us, but many times around us. How we speak, what we profess out of our mouth is going to impact our homes or our people at school or on the job or wherever we're at family reunions. Everything that comes out of our mouth can impact others rather than just us too. It cries. In fact, if a baby doesn't cry, people get nervous, don't they? They think something's wrong. If a baby doesn't cry, the doctor will often whack it on its backside to get it to cry. Probably not that hard. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But a new birth, people, a new birth is always accompanied by a cry. A new birth is. And for those who want to be Christians, confessing Jesus as their Lord is that cry of life. We do the same thing. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And that leads to something that's obvious about confession that many overlook. Confessing means you are saying something. Something. Again, we have the word homologeo, means to say the same thing. And too often people like to think of their faith as being something that is private or personal. They don't like the idea of sharing Jesus with others. And I've talked to people like that. They said, you should keep it to yourself. Well, that isn't what Scripture tells me to do. Jesus said to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. He's not talking to just preachers and evangelists and missionaries and teachers. All of us who are born again Christians are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. They like to do their Christianity over here, go over to one side and sit down off to one side of the stage or whatever, and live for Jesus over in a corner quietly. Nobody's bothering him. That's not Christianity, and that is not the Bible. It's not. But if you're going to be a Christian, you better get used to the idea that confessing Jesus is critical to a relationship with him. Even when we get to heaven, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be praising and glorifying God for all eternity. Billy Graham once explained why that was so. He said, there's something about making a public confession that seals it in your heart, confirms it to your friends, and makes it much easier to live the life you have openly proclaimed. That's why when you're witnessing and you lead someone to the Lord, you tell them to go share it with somebody else. Go tell somebody else what you've just done today. It solidifies that commitment to the Lord when you speak his name out to someone else, what you've done. But so many sit in churches, they raise up a hand and they walk out of a church and they'll never speak his name again. But that's contrary to Scripture. We're told to go out into the world and to share that gospel with other people. And so when we have people repeat the good confession at their baptism, we're merely getting them used to something they need to repeat again and again and again throughout their entire life. In fact, Jesus literally expects us to continually confess that we belong to him. It says in Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. This is important. I've read this before in Scripture, and I do read other Scriptures repetitively sometimes in this church. Did you know that on purpose? Because we're leaky vessels.
Right.
It's amazing, but we have to be reminded to do these things. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It's important for me to confess Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It's important for me to do that. It does something spiritually in me, but it also does something to the Lord because it says that he's going to confess me before his Father in heaven. I want that done. Jesus says if you publicly acknowledge him in front of all others, it is so important to him that, I'm going to say this, that he brags on you in heaven. Isn't that awesome to think that when I'm out and I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost sinner, with people fellowshipping or whatever, and when I do that, that my name is being mentioned in heaven before the Father by Jesus? Les! When Les mentions Jesus. In heaven before the throne of God, Jesus said, Les! Heavenly Father, Les! My son, Les. I'm proud to say he's one of mine. And we can put all of our names in there, can't we, if we're professing his name. What an awesome thought. If you're proud enough of him to share him with others, he'll be proud enough about you to proclaim your name throughout all the courts of heaven. So every time you tell someone here on earth how much Jesus means to you, your name is confessed by Jesus in heaven. It's awesome. But why would Jesus put such a priority on our public confessing him? Well, there's a lot of reason. It has to do with the problem of peer pressure. There are people who will put us down because we believe in Jesus. In fact, Jesus said that was going to happen in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. See, it's going to happen, people. It's going to happen. If you mention the name of Jesus Christ on your job, wherever you're at, there's going to be people that aren't going to like it, and they're going to revile against you. They're going to put you down and say things, nasty things about you. And so we're going to be tempted to leave Jesus out of our conversation. Have you noticed that many confessions today of people that come to Jesus, they never mention Jesus much anymore? A lot of the testimonies that just say God. That's all they say. But see, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's no other name by which we can be saved but Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is the one that name is told that we can't mention, even military today, pastors, and they can't even speak the name of Jesus today when they pray or counsel somebody anymore. Why is that? Because it's the one that hung on the cross. It's the one who died for all of our sins, and that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. So we're going to be tempted to be quiet about our faith in God and the Bible. And the less we talk about our Jesus, the more we're going to be tempted to apologize for even going to church. Or even to replace him with something else. There was once a TV show about a young man who wanted to join a particular fraternity. It was a popular fraternity on campus, and everybody was anybody belonged. So he and his close friend pledged for the fraternity. Good news, the fraternity wanted him, really wanted him. Bad news, the frat didn't want his friend. He wasn't that right type for them. They didn't fit. They regarded him as a loser who wouldn't fit into their group. He would be an embarrassment to them. Thus, the hero was faced with a dilemma. Should he join or not? Should he join or not? I watched a movie with Barney and Andy one time. And this golf bunch of snob-nosed golf guys had their club, and they wanted Andy to join. And, of course, Barney thought right away he was, too, part of that bunch. Make a long story short, when he got down to it, they wanted Andy, but they didn't want Barney because he would have been an embarrassment to their club. And so what did Andy do? Andy did the no-brainer thing. He didn't join because they wouldn't take his friend. He's not going to join either. Same thing happened here. It's a no-brainer. Why would I want to belong to an organization that doesn't want to include my friend? Why would I want to mix with people who look down on someone who has always been there for me? Did you hear that? But isn't that what people do who don't want to embarrass themselves by talking about Jesus? And I'm talking to the church. We don't speak the name of Jesus that has the power to change everybody for all eternity because we're afraid somebody might not like it or they'll be offended by it. The one who said he would never leave you nor forsake you. The one who died for my sins to keep me from going into an eternal hell. I'm afraid to speak that name because I'm afraid somebody might not like it or be offended. We got to think about that, our confession of our faith. See, he's the one that'll never leave us nor forsake us, but yet we won't speak his name because we're afraid of peer pressure many times. But even more than that, if I leave Jesus out of certain parts of my life because I'm afraid of offending someone, I may even risk my salvation. It could get to that point. Illustration, it said that when Henry Ward Beecher was a boy, he had a teacher at school who asked one of the boys in the class a question, which the boy answered. The teacher became angry and told the boy he was wrong and commanded him to sit down. The boy was obviously confused because he thought he'd answered correctly, but he sat down abruptly. Several boys were asked the same question. They gave the same answer promptly and rebuked by their teacher. Finally, Beecher was asked to stand and to answer the question. He gave the same answer and was commanded, sit down. But Beecher held his ground and insisted that the answer was correct. For a few moments, the teacher stormed at him, but seeing Beecher wasn't going to give up, he smiled and said, well, boys, you were all correct, but Beecher was the only one sure enough to stand up for it. See, many people have lost their faith in Christ because they simply lacked the courage to stand up for what they believed. And that's what happens in the Christian realm many times when we are embarrassed or afraid to mention the things of God in our daily life. And that's why I blame a lot of what's happening in the world today because of the watered-down stuff that's happening in the church today and Christians not standing up for what they believe. And where is the light coming into the darkness? And that we need to begin to confess what Jesus Christ has done in our life. And we will be mocked. We will be made fun of. We will be ridiculed. And many today are being martyred for the very same reasoning, mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. But if we're called to be a martyr, God's grace and his mercy will help. I just told my wife that two over in Syria that were thrown in a kiln and burnt to death this past week, a husband and wife, because they were Christians who would not renounce Jesus. They were martyrs for Jesus. It costs something to follow the Lord. That's why when you give your life to him and you say that Jesus Christ is my Lord, you better mean it in your heart when you confess that. They had grown so used to apologizing for their faith that once someone mounted a serious challenge to that faith, they just gave up and sat down. And that's what too many do today. We need to be standing up for what we believe in our homes, in our church, in our jobs, our schools, wherever we're at. We need to begin to stand in the gap when there's things that aren't right. We stand on our faith and we tell people. When people ask me, I've said this before, and I do this as an encouragement not to look at me because I'm a nothing. But I'm saved. I belong to Jesus. But if somebody says to me, do you smoke or do you drink? I simply say to them, no, I don't. But I don't leave it there. I like to say to them, would you like to know why? Because that's an opportunity to share Jesus Christ. And when they say yes, it's all open for me. And when you share the word of God, they get as quiet can get. And I let the Holy Ghost do the rest. It's not to condemn them or to build myself up. It's to speak out and confess out of my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every time I confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, the Holy Spirit goes to work on the people I'm sharing the gospel with. There's a parable about an ancient philosopher who came to a city to save its people from its sins. The inhabitants of the city who had first listened to the philosopher gradually turned away. One day a child asked the learned man why he went on. Did he not see that his mission was hopeless? The philosopher replied, in the beginning I thought I could change men. If I still shout, it is only to prevent men from changing me. Now, you know why I shout? I'm not going to get myself into a point where I'm afraid to shout for Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. And I'm not going to be quiet because somebody's offended because I'm excited about Jesus. It's our confession. Publicly and deliberately taking our stand for Jesus helps us make sure that we don't lose our faith when others oppose us. That comment by Billy Graham is worth repeating. There's something about making a public confession that seals it in your heart, confirms it to your friends, and makes it much easier to live the life you've openly proclaimed. And listen to this. Bill Bright tells of the time he asked a leading statesman to become involved in a worldwide effort to reach out to the people for Christ. He said the man turned him down. "I don't wear my religion on my sleeve. My religion is personal and I don't want to talk about it." Bright was appalled. He asked the man, "You are a Christian, aren't you?" He replied, "Yes, but I'm not a religious fanatic." Bright paused for a moment and then gently asked, "Did it ever occur to you that it cost Jesus Christ's life so you could call yourself a Christian? It cost the disciples their lives too, and millions of Christians throughout the centuries have suffered or died as martyrs in order to get the message of God's love and forgiveness to you. Now, you really believe that your faith in Christ is personal and private and that shouldn't be talked about?" The man was quiet for a moment and said, "No, sir, I'm wrong. Tell me what I can do about it." Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." People, it all begins when you give a good confession out of your mouth. "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the confession out of my mouth. If that's something you need to do in your life, you need to do it. Let's all stand. Please. Just one moment before we do communion. With every head bowed, I want to do this. I feel it's vitally important. If you're in here today and you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've never ever confessed it to someone else, you've been afraid to, you haven't done it, and you need to do it. But first off, is there anybody in here today that if you would die, you don't know for sure if you go to heaven, and you may stand in here and say, "Well, I hope I go because I've been a really good person and I hadn't done this and I hadn't done that and I've treated people." That isn't what Scripture says. You can't say that. Jesus said, "Repent. Repent of our sins. We're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. And His love and His mercy is so great that He came to earth and died on a cross. And He says, 'Come unto me. Come on to me. Whosoever will, he will no wise cast out.'" There's people, if you're in here today and you've never given your life to Jesus and you don't have the hope of salvation for eternity, this is your opportunity. I invite you right now to lift up your hand to heaven and say, "I want to give my life to Jesus." Come on. Holy Spirit is moving up on hearts and lives. God sees those hands. God sees the hands. He knows those that are holding back. But that's your only way to heaven. And if your hand is up right now, I'm going to ask you to do something that Jesus wants you to do because He said that. I just read it to you publicly, that if you confess me before man, I'll confess you to my Father in heaven. I'd just like you to step out to the side of the aisle right there where you're at. Just step out there and say, "I want to give my life to Jesus." It takes guts to do that sometimes. It takes guts to do that sometimes. Praise the Lord. Those that are in the aisle, would you just want to step forward by me, with me? See, I'm already up here. I've already done this. I need to read. We're going to pray together as a body of Christ with I just feel there's one more person that needs to be up here, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do the work. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you repeat it after me. It isn't my prayer that's going to save you. It's your commitment to Jesus Christ, right? I want you to understand that. But when you say you got to mean it in your heart, and then you need to live it out, amen? So we're going to, right now, we're going to pray. If there's anybody else and you want to be up here, now's the time to come. Might be your last opportunity. You never know. And I want the congregation to repeat with me also. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus, I come before you a sinner. And I ask Jesus that you forgive me of all my sins. From the moment I was born to where I'm standing here today, that you would wash me clean from all those sins in your precious blood. And Jesus, I ask you to save me, to come into my heart and life, and to be my Lord and Savior. And Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose again, and you're coming back someday. And Jesus, right now, I believe I am born again because I did what you asked. And I thank you, Jesus, for my salvation, and that you would take all my sins and to put them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. And I stand before you, Jesus, in your righteousness. And I thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm excited for you. Hallelujah. And now, you need to tell somebody today. Tell a friend. Tell a family member. But go tell somebody. Amen. I want you to welcome our brother and sister in Christ into the family of God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, with every head bowed, and you don't even need to raise your hands in this, but I need to pray this over us. Heavenly Father, there's some of us in here that maybe have been not willing to share our faith, to share your name out into a lost world. And I pray right now, Father, you know who those people are. You know the peer pressure that they feel, they sense in their lives. But Lord, I would ask that the power of the Holy Spirit will sovereignly move upon their hearts and lives and give them the Holy Ghost boldness. To this week, Lord, that that may be the first time for a long time or never, but Lord, let them walk out and say the name of Jesus to a lost person, to a lost world, to a lost family member, that they can begin to confess out of their mouth. Confession, it's good for the soul. It'll do something in us spiritually when we speak the name of Jesus into somebody's life. And I pray that over every person in here today, that we this week, when we have that opportunity and we see it, we take it and profess our faith and we stand upon the righteousness of Jesus this week. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may pass out communion. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. As they're passing out communion, the Bible tells us that we should... You need to be quiet before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit search your heart. Judge yourself. If there be anything in you that is not right, examine yourself, as the Bible says. Examine yourself. It's important that you examine yourself if there's anything in you. Thank you. Examine your hearts before the Lord before we take communion. And maybe there's something that you need to get right before you and the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Examine your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. First Corinthians chapter 11, 23, 32 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." And then Jesus says, "This do in remembrance of me." He wants us to remember what he did for you and I. See, this bread here is a symbol of Jesus' body. That's what it's a symbol of. It was broken and marred. If you have healing, as we said earlier, there's healing you need in your body. You can at the same time thank Jesus for the healing prior to taking it. You thank him. Let's look up and thank Jesus right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this symbol of your body that was marred and broken and striped for us. And we receive it right now by faith. Let's all partake. Lord, we thank you for what you did for us. Hallelujah, Jesus. In that same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Again, Jesus said, "In remembrance of me." This precious blood, the precious blood that was shed, this is a symbol of it, but this precious blood that was shed was the blood that washes away all of our sin and makes us white as snow. And the Bible says in Revelation that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the confession, the word of our testimony. And Lord, we thank you for this precious blood that you shed on Calvary's cross. Let's all partake. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for what Jesus did. And he came to earth and died for us, Father. And we praise you and thank you, and shed his blood, and he was tortured and beaten and ridiculed and shamed upon a cross. He paid the price for our sins. And as all Jesus asks is that we repent and come to him, and he will save us by his grace. And we thank you for that, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray over this congregation. I pray, Father, that we will be a congregation on fire for you, full of the Holy Ghost, Father, being used in this dark world, in this time that we live before Jesus comes back, that we can be a people that will be on fire, that we will be a people that our neighbors will look at and say, "They're Christians. They love Jesus." And we'll be a people that will not be fearful to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, you meet all the needs in this room today of the people present and the homes represented, and touch the bodies that need to be touched with a healing power that by Jesus' stripes were healed. And that you are the supplier, the source of all of our needs. And Lord, those that need comfort, give them comfort. Those that need peace, give them peace, Father. And I pray that over these people, your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And everybody said, amen. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. He's my Lord and he's my Savior, and I'm excited about him. And with the Lord's help, I'm going to share that name this week with someone, somewhere, somehow. Have fun fellowshipping. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.